Friday, October 10th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we continue our series in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 10, looking at verses 14 through 21 with a message titled, The Mystery of the Israel of God.
God has a plan. God's told us of that plan. He's revealed a mystery to us. He's unveiled something to us. He's handed us the building plans, if you will. And he's telling us, I'm saving. And I'm saving all my children. It was always God's plan to include the Gentiles. This is what was promised to Abraham and you, all the Gentiles and nations of the earth shall be blessed.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, as I said, we're continuing tonight and finishing Romans chapter 11, which next time we move into the gratitude section of Romans in chapter 12. I almost timed it perfectly with the Heidelberg, but I didn't get quite right. But tonight we are on the end of Romans 11, verses 25 through 36, found on page 1126. I'll read at verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Let's give our attention tonight to the word of the Lord. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it's not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. Do not become proud, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Now our text tonight. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned them all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Well, understanding the big picture to something, the master plan of something, is an important help to people of a project. It's essential. If you don't understand that master plan or what's happening, you're not going to put a lot of effort into something, are you? You're not going to understand what's happening. It would be crazy if you signed up to build a house and you didn't know who was going to live there, what the plans were, why you're building it. You just signed up to build the house. That's how a lot of people look at the church. What is this we're a part of? What are we doing? What is it accomplishing? What is the master plan? That's what this helps us with tonight. That's what the Lord is helping us to understand. The same is true with regards to the Christian ministry and the goals and objectives of Christian ministry. That's important that we understand purpose. That's important that we understand a plan that is set out. Because if you know that God has the plan, then you'll give yourselves to that plan. And if we have no idea of that plan, if we don't know what he's doing, then we will have no motivation, no service, no passion, no completion. Kind of an ignorance that really facilitates a dull and kind of lifeless approach to the kingdom of God. Now, that's the great message that's here tonight. God has a plan. God's told us of that plan. He's revealed a mystery to us. He's unveiled something to us. He's handed us the building plans, if you will. And he's telling us, I'm saving. And I'm saving all my children. And I want you to understand what that looks like. I want you to see that plan and appreciate that plan. And with that said, we come to Paul's conclusion tonight on the matter of the plan of God with regard to Jew and Gentile together. As one olive tree, as we talked about. One people of God. And Paul is helping us so that we're not ignorant about this. And again, I think you see how much confusion there is on this matter. Somebody said to me the other night, I thought was interesting, when they had the Scofield Study Bible and they studied dispensationalism and they fell into all that, it's really hard to come back to the scriptures out of all of that. Because you kind of built a grid that you see the scriptures through. To let the scriptures speak on their own terms on this is very important. And that's what people do. They build a system over the scripture and they don't listen to the scripture. Well, that's why there's so much confusion on Jew and Gentile on this issue. And we've looked at replacement theology and these claims last time. But God doesn't want us ignorant on this, and tonight, the apostle sums up everything that he's been saying with one goal in mind. I don't want you as Gentiles, because that's who we are. We're the Johnny-come-latelys, if you will. We're the nations of the earth. We're the people spread out over the earth. I don't want you conceited. I don't want you ignorant about what I'm doing with Israel. That's the heart of this tonight. God has been saying something to us, very important about Israel's unbelief and how we are to understand his faithfulness to his promises. Has his word failed? This is all the way back to chapter 9. Has God's word failed with regard to them? And this burdened Paul. And he wants us to understand this mystery, as he calls it tonight. It's going to lead, when we do, to something very healthy among us. I plan to show that to you here for a moment. It's going to raise the value. It's going to raise the appreciation of the gospel ministry that we have the privilege to enjoy and advance. We're serving the King. This is a great privilege. And God is giving us real purpose to what we're doing. And when we understand why we have the gospel ministry and what it's actually accomplishing, we do it with meaning, and it leads to the very praise and doxology that Paul ends with. He breaks out into praise and doxology, marveling over God's ways. And that's where this should lead us. In verse 25, he's working toward a conclusion to everything he has been saying since the beginning of chapter 9. And you'll notice in verse 25, he says, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers." That, this is a very pastoral verse in this section, because before we jump into that, he is making a final conclusion on the issue of Israel and how we are to understand their inclusion in the plan. Not our inclusion. He assumes we've kind of understood that by now. That it was always God's plan to include the Gentiles. This is what was promised to Abraham and you, all the Gentiles and nations of the earth shall be blessed. But I don't want you ignorant, says the Lord, about what I'm doing. I'm telling you what I'm doing. This is, you hear the Lord here. This is what Jesus said to the disciples. I tell my friends what I'm doing. It's all the way back to Sodom when he told Abraham, his friend, what he's doing. Because when you don't understand this, here's the problem. It leads to a lot of arrogance. It leads to disregard of people. I don't want you to be wise in your own opinion here. Notice how pride is the chief sin he's dealing with in this section among Gentiles. I don't want it because you're ignorant about what I'm doing. And when you are, I'm afraid it leads to pride. It's an amazing statement because it tells you that if you don't really understand the scriptures and understand the purpose of ministry and what's going on, pride will be the result. They're not written off, Paul says. They're not written off. Now, here's the important point to understand with the situation. The gospel's spreading over all the earth. It began, think of in the New Covenant, in that little room in Jerusalem with 122, and it's spread over all the earth, the gospel has. It's been, on the Lord's terms, a sweeping success. The Gentiles have received Christ. You're evidence of that. But we've already studied this because he said something important, that this has occurred, the Gentiles receiving Christ, because a hardening has come upon Israel. That's what opened this all up. Promises were made to them. They trespassed. They didn't receive their Messiah. That wasn't that the Lord went to plan B. God had a hardening purpose in this. That's how sovereign he is. They didn't receive their Messiah. But in God's divine plan, it was being fulfilled to include you. It's very humbling, isn't it? He opened the door at Pentecost to us. All the nations and languages were there. And this, though, caused a huge challenge in the early church with the Jews. The Jews became filled with envy. It's all over Acts. It's all over Acts. Persecutions became common, especially because they were a religion of antiquity and claimed that these Christians, these Johnny-come-latelys in a Roman culture that despised the new and cherished antiquity, charged them for being a new sect. It was great turmoil in the first centuries. And Paul is concerned about Gentile attitudes. You can appreciate what happens here in the divisions that happen in the church. I think just for a minute, follow this and you'll see that we know this very problem well. What's described here? We divide over a lot of things in the church. Some of those divisions are very necessary. The Apostle Paul said there must be divisions among us to determine who is true. When the word of God is directly violated. But it's fascinating on certain things that have never been viewed in the history of the church as essential. People will separate out into their own groups. Pride drives the break, and it's ugly. You guys have seen this stuff. It's ugly, and we fall into it. What Paul was dealing with was not a division over little issues. That's what I think is remarkable here. This was a division over the gospel. Think about this, of Jew and Gentile. This was at the very heart of the Christian message. They rejected their Messiah, right? They denied the gospel. So you could imagine the attitude of the Gentiles toward unbelieving Jews, right? Think of what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 11, from the Jews five times, I've never received anything like this, but think about this. From the Jews five times, I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. All from the Jews persecuting him. 1 Thessalonians, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they did not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Okay. The issue is, Jews rejected Christ. They would not receive his righteousness. The Gentiles actually received it. But do you see the hatred that arose between the groups? It was bad. Gentiles, we're the ones who've attained this. They have not. How dare they persecute us? We have the Messiah. We haven't rejected him. We're not the dogs. They're the dogs. We have baptism. They're stuck in circumcision. They've rejected the gospel and turned from it. But we have the true gospel. We have the right gospel. They're stuck in types and shadows. It's Hebrews. Their worship is corrupted. Ours is true. Ours is in spirit. What is to be our attitude toward people like that? Now, Paul's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of why the hardening happened, lest you become arrogant in the way you treat them. This is the sense of this. This is what he's driving home right there. In other words, if you understand what the Lord's doing, you'll never act like that. You'll never act like that. When the Reformation happened, which really kind of parallels some of this, there had been so much abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. We're so disconnected from some of that. It was really bad. You can just read Luther on the stuff that he saw, the priests, the sexual immorality, all kinds of abuse doctrinally of the people. When the gospel was recovered, people fled into that freedom. I mean, the abuse was so bad, they ran into it. Finally, it's like the gates, the prison were open, and they ran out of there like a stampede. What was the danger in that? You can just read Luther. He described it. The spirit that developed among many of what he called the enthusiasts or the seditious, they're trained now in revolt as infiltrators, crude, factitious, rebellious spirits, messengers of the devil, rabble preachers. He says, I'm not even sure what they believe. I'm not even sure what they believe. Rome was labeled everywhere by Protestants as a false church. I mean, you have the Belgic articles on this, and you can see the strength and the emphasis of what they were reacting against at the time of the Reformation. Well, what can happen? Something really ugly. Take it closer. URCs start. You know, what was the danger? Well, we reacted against the slippery slope of the denial of Scripture. And new church forms, and this stuff hit close to home for many of you. There was bad blood, right? I've seen it in almost every community where this happened. It happened in Linden. We've gotten back to the true church. We've gotten back to the true church. What is the attitude toward those stuck in compromise? Disgust. These aren't little things. There were gospel issues at stake. There was truth at stake. At times, divisions have to happen. In all of these circumstances, the Jews, the Roman Catholics, Christian Reform, just go through the label of all the challenges that have been there. What develops in people running out the gate? Pride. Pride. Here's what Paul says. Imagine the shock of this. Have you not thought God hardened them for this? Let that set in for a minute. Have you not thought God hardened them to bring this about? That's what he's saying here about the Jews. That means that what we receive comes and came by the grace of God that opened the door for us to receive it. I think in some ways, this stuff still happens today, in a sense, that God creates new opportunities because of the hardness of people's hearts, right? And he does the same thing. This is not a one-time phenomenon. Certainly, hardening judgments can come on groups. Certainly, hardening judgments can come on groups who compromise the Word of God. The last thing that should produce in those who've been delivered is a hard, cold, uncaring, conceited spirit. That's what he's saying. If you once had your house built on a slope, you knew that from an engineer that, listen, there's a whole bunch of you got houses here on the slope, and I'm telling you guys right now, when the rain comes, all your homes are going to slide down the mountain. What if all your neighbors won't hear, and you hear, and you move your family out to a safe house? And you know that one day the rain's coming and all those homes are going to slide down the mountain. What kind of person are you if you said, I don't care? I don't care. Shame on them for not listening. The attitude completely misunderstands the grace of God and the sovereignty of God. And that's Paul's concern. Remember, he said in verse 20, don't be haughty, but fear. And further, don't boast against the branches. What Paul was concerned about was Gentiles would lose sight of the mission here. And all of that is to say, that's why you have to appreciate the master plan. That's why you have to appreciate the mystery that he's speaking of here. What is the mystery? Well, a mystery is not something like a novel that we open up and have to piece together. The mystery is something that we would never know unless God, by revelation, had not enlightened our eyes to understand it. And that's what this is. That's why this passage is very helpful for all these kind of scenarios. All those statements seem to indicate Israel's final rejection of Christ, and that the Gentiles thought it was over. And if not clarified, would think those Jews are just going to get their desserts. And Paul says, you need to understand something.
All the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope to see you again next time for part 2 of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.